Good morning, everybody. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos gives a list of 48 kinyanim that are necessary in order for a person to properly be mekabel the Torah. Each one describes a different character trait, and each one focuses on a specific area of perfection. Between Pesach and Shavuos, we spend time learning through the Pirkei Avos as we ready ourselves to personally be mekabel the Torah. In this list of 48, we are told that one needs to be careful to have miut sicha, limited speech, and miut shena, limited sleep. Simply understood that if a person spends too much time talking with others and gossiping about any and every local occurrence, the time for learning will be heavily compromised. Similarly, says the Mishnah, if a person spends too many hours sleeping, then the potentially productive time will be wasted. So the Mishnah tells us that one should try and limit both the hours of sleep as well as the amount of idle chatter throughout the day, as they are antithetical to a successful life of Torah study. However, if one looks at the commentary of the Tiferes Yisrael, one will notice a very novel pshat in this Mishnah. Says the Tiferes Yisrael, sometimes we observe a young person who becomes enthused and enthralled with Torah study, and in his youthful excitement this person decides to sleep only 3 or 4 hours a night. I remember when I was in yeshiva, there was a group of boys that used to speak about a plan to sleep only 3 hours a night, then to wake up for 2 hours to learn, and then return to sleep for another 3 hours. They called it the 3-2-3 plan. And there were all sorts of variations and methods of sleep deprivation because they thought that the way to succeed and create more hours in the day to learn would be by limiting their hours of sleep at night. But the Tiferes Yisrael suggests on this Mishnah that when we describe miut sicha and miut shena, it does not mean that one should limit his sleep or time of interaction with friends, but rather, says the Tiferes Yisrael, the Mishnah is teaching us the exact opposite, that in order to be successful in learning, or for that matter in any line of work, a person needs to be careful at least to get a little bit of sleep. Don't deprive yourself too much in life. A person must create an outlet and some sort of channel to socialize with friends and relax a little bit. And these, says the Tiferes Yisrael, are essential components of properly acquiring the Torah. One needs to know his or her limits. One needs to function in realistic terms and allow him or herself to sleep and relax as necessary, and not to be too intense and excessive, regardless of the importance of the end goal. This week's Parsha, Parshas Bamidbar, speaks in great detail about the breakdown of the people throughout the years in the Midbar. There were 12 Shvatim, as we know. Each one had a specific place, with a particular flag and a highly distinguished leader. And throughout the 40 years, each group traveled and camped in their clearly defined spaces, equidistant from the Andaluchos, which were situated in the center. The Pasuk tells us, Kasher Yachanu, Kein Yiso, Ish al yado ledigleihem. The way they camped is the way they traveled, each shevet with his specific flag and specific color. I saw an insight into this pasuk, which is obviously not to be taken literally, but mir hadrash, that it has been proven both physically and psychologically that if a person gets the proper amount of rest and relaxation, he is able to better produce the next day. If a person takes vacation when necessary and builds up healthy outlets for themselves, they will be more successful in the overall accomplishments throughout life. Yes, in the short term it might seem to be a loss to them, but in the overall scheme of productive life, it will prove to be more rewarding. This perhaps is an additional meaning to the pasuk in our parsha, Kasher Yachanu Kein Yiso. Based on the amount that the people rested was their ability to travel. If the nation camped in a healthy way, they then had the strength to continue to travel further. And if they did not have a pleasant rest in the Midbar, it impacted their ability to advance further into the experience and the journey of the 40 years traveling in the Midbar. We believe that vacations are extremely important, and they should not be underestimated or undervalued. We live in a culture that moves so quickly, one that is so cutthroat and that has such unrealistic expectations from us. There's no such thing as a 9-to-5 job anymore. It simply does not exist. And even once we come home, there's an expectation to respond to emails and work-related issues even late at night and on the weekends. We get an email or a text at night from a friend or a relative, and if we have not responded within a few hours, We'll get a phone call asking if we received the message and if everything is okay. Our society expects us to be on call at all times and to be responsive to everyone, regardless of what our other daily responsibilities might look like. It is intense and it's difficult to keep up with such a fast-paced world. And giving ourselves a vacation once in a while might not be such a bad idea. Not simply to clear our minds, but also to allow us to be refreshed and invigorated, which will enable us to even be more productive when we return. Kasher Yachanu Kein Yiso is a concept that we believe in, and it is one which each and every person needs to be honest with him or herself about. But at the same time that we value this concept, there is yet another idea that all too often is overlooked, though I feel it can never be overstated. In Parshas Bahaloscha, the Torah speaks about the halachas of Pesach Sheni. For those who were unable to bring the Karban Pesach in its proper time, either due to the fact that they were tameh, they were impure, or because they were bederech rechoka, they were on a trip and could not make it back to Yerushalayim in time. But then the pasuk describes the person who simply did not show up to offer the Karban Pesach, not for any good reason at all. Says the pasuk, "Vahaish asher hu tahar, uvederech lohaya," a person who actually was pure. He was tahar and was not busy traveling on the road. For him, says the pasuk, there's no opportunity of Pesach Sheni, and he is punished with kares. There's a famous quip of the Vilna Gaon on this pasuk, in which he sees a description of individuals who go on vacation. Says the Vilna Gaon, "He who is an ish asher hu tahar uvaderech, one who is traveling outside of his home, he is baderech, he's on the road, and he remains pure, v'hu tahar." Says the Vilna Gaon, such a phenomenon, lo haya. This is impossible, and this is a non-existent concept. Because once a person leaves his home, says the Vilna Gaon, once a person goes out of his regular routine, there is almost always a lowering of standards. For the most part, we all live very erlicha lives. We're meticulous in our standards of kashrus and our shmiras ha-mitzvahs and in our personal avodas Hashem. But so often we find ourselves lowering our own standards when we step out of our natural element and find ourselves in a foreign community. Our parsha teaches, Kasher Yachanu Kein Yiso, the very same standards, values, principles, and integrity we would hold ourselves to when we are in our own communities and amongst friends are the standards we must uphold when we travel and are out of our natural element as well. Kasher Yachanu, Kein Yiso. The same way we are when we're resting, when we're at home in our own private place, is the way we need to act when we're on the road and we're out of our natural environment. So let's review a couple of points that are important for us to keep in mind as we enter this season of the year, the vacation season, and perhaps these are things that are obvious to everyone but worth reviewing nonetheless. We sometimes go on hotel programs or on cruises that provide a lavish kosher caterer and a whole slew of kosher food options. I suppose many people are simply unaware that many of these programs rely on leniencies that we would never rely on in our own homes. Take for a simple example. I suppose there's almost no one who would be comfortable using the same dishwasher in their private home for both milchig dishes in the morning and fleishig dishes in the afternoon or at night. Yes, there are ways to kosher something from milchigs to fleishigs and vice versa, but to switch within 24 hours is something which the Shulchan Aruch says is bidieved, and certainly switching back and forth between milchigs and fleishigs multiple times is something which we also assume is not proper. And these are certainly issues we would never rely on in our own private homes. Yet, when we pay exorbitant amounts of money to go on programs, we settle for such service which is nothing short of bidieved. Are we really interested in paying for bidieved service, even though we lead our lives as lechatchila customers? I suppose most people don't know that the caterers do not want to spend the tremendous amount of money to purchase another dishwasher, and one can certainly hear where they're coming from, but are we really okay with relying on things we would never rely on in our own homes? I always think about it this way. We pay lechatchila money, and in some cases, it's extremely lechatchila money. So why are we settling on bidieved kashrus standards? It is simply not fair to the customers who are unaware of the issues that are being overlooked. So perhaps this is something that most people don't even think to ask before they attend a program, as they don't know what goes on in the kitchen. But what about the things that we are aware of? Take, for example, the hotels or cruises which only have electronic and automatic facilities. Before booking a place to stay, are we careful to find out what the accommodations might look like and whether or not they are able to handle an Orthodox family who keeps Shabbos in the most lechatchila manner at home? Are we putting ourselves in a situation where we will have no choice but to be Mechal Shabbos at some point over the vacation? Are we careful when we go away to think about the concerns of an Eruv, which is almost always non-existent? A general hotel does not have an Eruv around its premises, and without an Eruv, as we know, one is not allowed to carry even a hotel key or a sucking candy in their mouth. And even if one does not want to carry outside, there's a Din d'Rabbanan mentioned both in the Gemara and spoken about extensively in Shulchan Aruch, which forbids us from carrying inside a building without making an Eruv Chatzeros. Yes, there are those who feel that the nature of a hotel setup might not require one, but many, many Achronim are unhappy and uncomfortable relying on this heter. At the very least, we need to look into the issue and determine whether or not it is applicable to our situation. We need to figure out what might have to be done in order to allow us to carry inside of our vacation spots over Shabbos itself. There's a big discussion regarding lighting Shabbos candles in hotels. According to almost all of the contemporary poskim, it constitutes a bracha levatala if one lights candles in the hotel lobby. And there are so many objections to doing so, but some of them being that the family simply will not be getting benefit from these candles at all, and the fact that there are so many other candles that are set up there, so the ones that I light are almost insignificant. This is the opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, as well as many other major contemporary poskim. We generally assume that one is able to light Shabbos candles with a bracha by turning on an electric light bulb in a private hotel room. However, lighting on an LED bulb is a major shaila, and many poskim feel that it would not suffice for the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros Shabbos. This is something we need to keep in mind when we go away. If we do not think that we'll be able to light candles in a private place in our own personal room, we need to make sure to make arrangements and bring along a bulb which will allow us to properly light Shabbos candles. We would never consider skipping the Shabbos candles if we were home for Shabbos, so why are we so dismissive of the issue when we go away on vacation for Shabbos? The Gemara speaks about the importance of davening with a minyan, and in fact the halacha dictates that one is required to travel up to 20 minutes out of his way in order to attend a minyan. How often do people arrange vacations with no plans for a minyan to daven with? Yes, it's true that if one is stuck and there is no minyan in the 20-minute vicinity, he is allowed to daven b'yechidus, but there's a major question in the Achronim whether or not one is allowed to put himself in a situation in which he knows from the outset that a mitzvah will be neglected. So how can we plan getaways in which we know from the outset that we will not be davening with a minyan, not answering Kaddish, Kedusha, or Baruch Hu, and not hearing Kriyas HaTorah on Monday or Thursday? Why is it that suddenly when a person is in Avelis and needs to recite Kaddish or daven for the Amud, why is it that they become so hypersensitive to this issue of davening with a minyan, while at times when Avelis is not a consideration, the minyan issue is completely ignored? If we were home, would we decide not to go to shul one day for no good reason at all? We have a din d'oraisa of Kavod Shabbos and of Oneg Shabbos. Part of the din of Kavod Shabbos is to dress differently on Shabbos than we would normally dress during the rest of the week. Quite often, when we are on vacation, we see respectable people coming to shul on Shabbos without a suit, and certainly without a tie. And for some reason they assume that the standards of Kavod Shabbos are not the same when they are away from home. They can change into all sorts of comfortable attire on Shabbos afternoon when they're going on their leisure walks, but Shabbos is Shabbos, and it's supposed to be the same regardless of where we find ourselves. If there are ways in which we would dress while spending Shabbos in our own home, then there is no heter to lower that standard when we travel and find ourselves spending Shabbos in another community. Kasher Yachanu Ein Yiso has an extremely important message for us. Yes, it is essential that we get to rest and we take a break from our regular lives. Yes, it is what allows us to propel and move forward with energy and a renewed excitement for what we do. But this is only permissible if we do it in a way which follows the kasher yachanu, one in which we are vigilant and extremely careful to ensure that our travels are befitting incredibly special people who we are. We work so hard to raise our families with certain levels of tznius, of kedusha and tahara. We're insistent and unrelenting in our diktuk and shmiras hamitzvahs. Then that same ideal and belief needs to exist when we take leave and relax from our regular routine. Every family needs to carefully consider their time off and make sure that they uphold that which they might easily neglect in the pleasurable time away from home. May this season provide a much needed renewed sense of enthusiasm, and may we all continue to give nachas ruach to our Creator throughout these months of the year and in each and every day of our lives. I wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos.